2005 UTC right after the international news.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Confederation of African Football held the draw Monday for the group stage of its Confederation Cup tournament. 16 teams were drawn into four groups of four each. Group A has Enyimba of Nigeria, ES Satif of Algeria, Orlando Pirates of South Africa, and Al Ahly Benghazi of Libya. Enyimba, Satif, and Orlando Pirates are all former African club champions. Enyimba and Satif each have lifted the CAF Champions League trophy twice, while Orlando Pirates won it in 1995. Group B has defending CAF Confederation Cup champion RS Berkane of Morocco, JS Kabylie of Algeria, Cotton Sport of Cameroon, and NAPSA Stars of Zambia. In Group C of the Confederation Cup, it's CS Faxian of Tunisia, Salitas of Burkina Faso, Jarraf of Senegal, and the winner of a playoff match between Etoile Sahel of Tunisia and Young Buffaloes of Eswatini. Group D has Zambia's Nkana, Pyramids from Egypt, and the Moroccan side, Raja Casablanca. Now, the final team in Group D will be either Tanzania's Namungo or Angola's Primeiro Augusto. Namungo is the favorite to clinch the group spot after beating Primeiro Augusto 6-2 in the first leg of their two-leg playoff on Sunday. The CAF Confederation Cup group stage matches are scheduled to begin next month, with the top two teams in each group advancing to the quarterfinals. As I mentioned earlier, former African champion Enyimba of Nigeria is in Group A of the Confederation Cup tournament. For reaction to the team's draw, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted Enyimba's media officer, Zazi Barisa.
Interesting draw. And one that makes us realize that the job has just begun. Because when you look at it, over 60 teams enter this competition, and these are the best 16, and we're paired against three of those best 16. So, of course, you have to realize that they have a lot to offer to have made it this far in the competition. And when you also look at the teams that are in Group A with us, there are teams that have rich histories in this competition. You look at Antoine Setive, of course, they were finalists in this competition in 2009, And in 2018, they were able to get to the semi-final of the CAF Champions League. So it just shows that they are a formidable side with rich history in this competition. Also, in the previous round, they were able to eliminate a West African side, Ashanti Kotoko, which shows that they've had a taste of what a West African side looks like. Also, Orlando Pirates, a traditional team also, and had a fantastic season last season, from which they qualified for this competition, finished third in the PSL, that's the Premier League in South Africa, just behind Mamelodi Sundowns and Kaizer Chiefs. And in this competition, like I mentioned earlier, they have rich history. They've got to the final in 2015, and in 2013 went to the latter stages of the CAF Champions League. So it also shows that they are a force to be reckoned with. Al Ahly Benghazi, Well, you might want to think that they will be the soft target in this competition, but with what they've been able to do recently, both in the Arab League and, of course, in this competition where they eliminated Motema Pembe in the previous round, then, of course, you have to give them some level of respect. We understand that football stability has not really been achieved in Libya, where they are from, but they've shown that they are a side that can put up a very good opposition at any point in time. So, overall, it's a draw that we looked forward to. It's a draw that makes us want to be on our feet. It's a draw that makes us understand that we have a whole lot of work to do to qualify from this group, because that's the most important thing right now. That's the immediate target, qualifying from this group. One of the two tickets, we just have to get it, preferably the first ticket, because with that you get to play a second place team from another group.
The group has ES Setif of Algeria, Orlando Pirates of South Africa, and Ahli Benghazi of Libya. Can it be called the group of death?
On paper, it is difficult to call it the group of death, because the teams in Group A are not really the highest rated teams in their different ports, going by the CAF club coefficient. But at the same time, we always say football is not played on paper, it is played on the field. So when we go look at it that way, you begin to see how interesting these matchups promise to be. For instance, there has been a rivalry between Nigeria and South Africa in football, and that rivalry will be taken into this competition when Enyimba take on Orlando Pirates. So that makes for an interesting angle in it. Also, these teams have met in the CAF club competitions before. So there is that history between them that both sides will want to look at. So it's quite interesting. Might not be the toughest group on paper. At the same time, it's a group that promises lots of fireworks. You know, Nigerian fans back home are already looking forward to when Antoine Seti will visit Aba, of course, for one of the fixtures. As a matter of fact, all six match days promise fireworks in this group. And the interesting part is that all matches will be concluded in just about a month plus, so by then we'll know exactly who qualifies from the group. But overall, we must say that it's a group that promises lots of fireworks, lots of sparks, and of course, exciting football.
Do you have injury problems or worries as you enter the group stage of the CAF Confederation Cup tournament?
Of course, there are injury worries in the team as we speak, a few injury and fitness worries here and there. But we are hoping that the story will be different by the next time these matches come around. Ruben Bala, for instance, who was one of our standout players last season, has not had a kick of the ball this season because he had surgery at the end of last season and needed time to heal, to recover, and to gain back his fitness. He has returned to training, no doubt, but he needs a little time to build his fitness. Likewise, Martin Susuli, who was struggling with a groin problem, he has returned to training also. That's why we are hopeful that by the time the group stage begins, these players will be fit. Jeribasa Sabiru, the goalkeeper from Togo, who was signed recently, he broke his shoulder in training and required just to sit out for some time. And we are hoping that he will come back in time as well. In the meantime, John Noble and Olufemi Kayode, they have been doing quite well with the time they've got in goal also. Daniel Dakwa is another player that has been an injury concern. He was nursing a groin problem but has also just returned to training and should be in good shape, all things being equal, by the time the group stage matches begin on the 9th of March. We are hoping that we do not have other injury problems, because between now and then, we'll be playing lots of league fixtures here in Nigeria. We have a congested schedule here in Nigeria, so we can't be too sure, but we can only be optimistic that we don't add to any injury worries, because we need the full complement of our squad to be able to compete in this group stage.
That's Zazi Barisa, the media officer of Enyimba Football Club of Nigeria, Andy spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Aba, Nigeria.
Spotted greetings. This is Zazi Bariza, media officer of Iyimba Football Club of Aba, Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Algerian football club ES Sétif earned its place in Group A of the Confederation Cup by beating Ghana's representative, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, reports from Accra, Ghana.
Ghana's only representative in CAF club competitions, Asante Kotoko, was eliminated at the weekend by Algerian side ES Sétif from the CAF Cup. The Kumasi team, once a big force to reckon with in CAF competitions, tried to redeem their team spirit, but the Algerians, after defeating them in Accra by 2-1 in the first leg, played their normal tactical game, more relaxed, to end the match goalless and per aggregate qualifies to the next stage of the CAF Cup. Sports journalist Jojo Epson has been following Asante Kotoko during their continental campaigns. His thoughts on Kotoko's failure.
You know, just epitomizes the declining level of club football in Ghana. And this can be partly due to the mass exodus of the quality of players, you know, from Ghana to various destinations in Africa. And this which must be arrested quickly. Kotoko, with all its pedigree in African football, has not been able to push relegation together to reverse this trend. And now they are paying shadow of themselves as against major powers that they used to compete with, the likes of El Ali, you know, the TV Mazembes, and other giants who have adopted strategies that keep them going. Having said this, on the domestic scene, Asante Kotoko still have one of the best squad. Look at the composition of the players they have currently, with about six of them being called to the newly constituted blaster, with majority of them, you know, from the local component. They stand a good stead, you know, of going back to Africa next year by either winning the league or winning the FA Cup, which will guarantee them to qualify to Africa and represent Ghana next year. Whereas I expect them to maintain majority of these players by tying them to good contract, proper remuneration, by retaining and then getting a very good, you know, technical brain to handle them. I mean, that could be the way forward for Kotoko and other clubs such as Asofu, who have the Horekida to roll shoulders with the giant of Africa, the El Ali, the Zamalek, the work of Morocco, among others.
In another development, Ghana Football Association is mourning the death of its youth player, Linus Isaku of Catholic Stars Football Club. Isaku met his untimely death after a fatal collision with his opponent during a game last Saturday. The talented player was rushed to the Tamale Teaching Hospital in the northern region of Ghana, where he died from internal bleeding. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kobno Fori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. And we here at the Sunny Side of Sports send our condolences to Catholic Stars Football Club and the family and friends of Linus Isaku, the talented young footballer who died over the weekend.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a Devil Communist Games champion, a world cross-country champion, three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
Serious realities indeed, Joshua. And this Sunny Side of Sports programming note, Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala will have a report on Joshua Cheptegei for Wednesday's show. Magume says Ugandan star Cheptegei is being rewarded both locally and internationally. Magume says Joshua Cheptegei was recently made a tourism ambassador by the Uganda Tourism Board. And Cheptegei also has received some financial support for his foundation from the local telecom company, MTN. Magume Davis Rakawinge and Joshua Cheptegei on Wednesday's Sunny Side of Sports show. In National Basketball Association news, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to my favorite NBA team, the Washington Wizards. The Wizards waved their wands and won their fifth consecutive game Monday night when they beat the defending NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers 127-124 in overtime in Los Angeles, California. Bradley Beal, who is currently leading the NBA in scoring, had a game-high 33 points for the Wizards, and Beal's backcourt partner, Russell Westbrook, came very close to another triple-double with 32 points, 14 rebounds, and 9 assists. LeBron James once again led the Lakers with 31 points, 9 rebounds, and 13 assists. The Lakers now have a record of 22 wins and 10 losses, while the Wizards now have 11 victories and 17 defeats. The Utah Jazz currently have the NBA's best record with 25 wins and 6 losses. The Jazz relied on long-range shooting Monday night to beat the visiting Charlotte Hornets. The AP's Jim Bernard reports.
The Utah Jazz used a three-point shooting barrage to post a 132-110 win over the Charlotte Hornets. Donovan Mitchell led the Jazz in scoring with 23 points and handed out 8 assists as Utah rallied from an 11-point deficit in the second half, finally taking control with a 26-2 run. George Niang scored 21 points on 7-of-7 three-point shooting.
When you're in a rhythm and shots are going in, life is really good. You know, you just feel like you're in a zone. And obviously, as you can see, I was in that zone. And obviously, when you're in it, it feels really good. Like I said before, when you make shots, you know, life is great. There's, you know, no problems ever in the world.
The Jazz converted on 28 three-point shots in the game. Gordon Hayward and LaMelo Ball each scored 21 points for the Hornets. I'm Jim Bernard.
Thanks, Jim. Elsewhere around the NBA, the Phoenix Suns trounced the Portland Trailblazers. The AP's George Tanner reports from Phoenix, Arizona.
Devin Booker had 34 points, 22 in the first half as the Suns hit 16 of 33 three-point shots to defeat the Trailblazers 132-100. DeAndre Ayton added 19 points. Phoenix outscored Portland 37-17 in the third quarter. The Suns have won 9 of their last 10 and 12 out of 14 to improve to 20-10. Damian Lillard led the Blazers with 24. Portland has lost 2 straight after winning 6 in a row. The Blazers fall to 18-12. George Tanner, Phoenix.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the tennis beat, Japanese star Naomi Osaka has moved up one spot to number 2 in the women's rankings after winning the Australian Open trophy in Melbourne. It was Osaka's fourth major tournament title and her second title in Melbourne.
For me, my feelings, I'm really happy right now. I think this is a moment that I've been working for during the entire preseason. And you know, it's really weird when you get to that final point, you start trembling because you can think of like the what ifs. For me, I feel like I'm living in a what if right now.
Ash Barty of Australia remains number one in the world. In the men's tennis rankings, the Russian Daniil Medvedev rose to a career best number two behind Australian Open winner Novak Djokovic. Djokovic won his record ninth singles trophy in Melbourne on Sunday, beating Medvedev in straight sets. Meanwhile, another Russian, Aslan Karatsev, made a historic run in Melbourne. He went from qualifying to the semifinals in his maiden Australian Open appearance. That allowed Karatsev to vault 72 places in the men's rankings from 114 to 42nd.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Southern Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Ugandan fighter Juma Miro won a bronze medal in the 49-kilogram division at the 2018 Commonwealth Games boxing tournament. Elsewhere in African boxing, a Kenyan lawyer is mentoring children in and out of the ring and helping them relieve feelings of anger and stress. In this Encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, VOA's Gwen Uten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Young people who live in some of Nairobi's poorest neighborhoods are learning how to overcome life's challenges, and they're doing it with the help of Shadrach Wambui, a Kenyan lawyer who has combined his knowledge of the law with his love for boxing. And he tells Reuters News his two passions are a natural fit.
I find it very easy combining being a boxer and being a lawyer, because on one field, on one end, I fight for people's causes, I fight for people's lives, I fight for people's livelihoods, I fight for people's inheritance, I fight for people's lives, literally speaking. When you're representing people who, upon conviction, might get a sentence of up to death, so you realize that you're fighting for people's lives.
Wambui knows what it's like to literally fight for his life. The 29-year-old grew up poor in Mathare and used boxing to help release his frustrations over police brutality and abuse. And Wambui says the sport helped him avoid confrontation and become a more disciplined student.
Through the hands of the police officers, we lost livelihoods, and we also lost loved ones. So I grew up knowing that I wanted to become a police officer. But really, the idea of becoming a lawyer, I learned of it in class 8 and class 7. That there was this profession known as the legal practitioners or the legal profession. But if you enroll in it, it will help you in championing your course. So that is how I now embarked on my journey to becoming an advocate.
In 2018, Wambui was admitted to the Kenyan bar, and since then, he has convinced 50 more young lawyers to volunteer their time to help kids learn not only boxing techniques, but also their basic rights as a citizen. And Wambui says that 1-2 combination was the same foundation for one of the world's greatest human rights leaders.
It will be remembered that Nelson Madiba Mandela, Rohilala, was also a boxer and a lawyer. So really, being a boxer is about fighting. Being a lawyer is about fighting. So the causes are the ones that differ. But both the martial art and the profession require some sense of commitment. they require an inner drive and inner, you must have that inner encouragement. You must encourage yourself.
According to a Reuters investigation published in 2018, police bribery and more serious offenses like assault and murder are common in poor Nairobi districts, and the victims almost never get justice. Wambui hopes his boxing sessions will help young people learn to believe in themselves despite the challenges they face. Last year, other trainers in Mathare used the sport of boxing to offer hope to school children during the coronavirus lockdown. In March 2020, the Kenyan government ordered the shutdown of schools nationwide to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. For months, school children were forced to find a much-needed outlet. So dozens of kids walked through the doors of the Mathare North Boxing Club, where trainers offer lessons to children who would otherwise be stuck indoors. And assistant boxing coach John Kimani tells Reuters the kids learn about more than just the sport. Kimani says since the passing of the club's founder, trainers have taken over the gym and given back to the community free of charge. He says kids don't come to the boxing club to just learn the sport. They learn life lessons as well. The club was established in 1985, and before John Kimani became an assistant coach, he was one of several professional boxers who trained at the gym. Now, Kenyan Vanessa Wanjira trains there, and the 14-year-old says she has big dreams of one day becoming a champion.
Because I want to be a champion, and instead of staying in the slums, I come here and start training with my colleagues here in the gym. And I prefer training than hiding in the slums with those girls who can lead me to bad ways.
Andrew Odhiambo has boxed since he was 8 years old. Now 18, he says he wants to use the sport to help him give back to his community. Odhiambo says he knows everything about boxing and he wants to help his peers. And with more students coming in than trainers can handle, he comes in to help. He says when a coach is not in, he takes over training sessions so students won't miss a class. The gym has seen more and more neighboring kids coming in to train during the global pandemic, and the club is adhering to all social distancing and hygiene guidelines to fight the virus. Head coach Bernard Marui says he hopes the boxing program will help kids stay busy and out of trouble. And with training at such a high demand, Mathare North Boxing Club could be grooming the next Kenyan champion. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Fali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
And I urge all our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to stay vigilant during the COVID-19 pandemic. February 23rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.